Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow.
Father, thank you for your word this morning. Jehovah God, Elohim, Yahweh, we welcome you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right, I got a new one for you. Take your right hand and place it on your heart, on your body. And let's say this together here this morning. This is my body. It is the temple of the Lord. It is the dwelling place of His Holy Spirit. God desires that this body prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. He has designed this body for His presence, purpose, and divine nature. Therefore, I and this body thrive in forgiveness, reconciliation, and love. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Let's do it all together. Let's give Him praise. That's a good declaration there. So I'm going to continue the I Am series or the Names of God series here this morning. I don't know how far I'll get. We'll just leave that to the Lord. But there was a teacher at school who was walking around the room, and she came to a little boy who was drawing, and he was diligent. Juanita, he was really, you know, drawing this picture. And she said, hey, what are you drawing there? And he said, God. And she said, son, nobody knows what God looks like. And he said, they will when I'm done. They will when I'm done. That's what the names of God do for us. God wants you to know Him. So He gives you pictures of Himself. Listen to me, not some man's idea or some philosophy about who God is. Because can I get a witness? There's many tribes, many nations, many tongues that have tried to tell us who God is and what He's like. Give me God's revelation of Himself. And we have that here in Scripture in these different names. But we also have it in Jesus Christ. Because what words paint pictures? Words paint pictures for us so we can better understand. And Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 1, is the Word made flesh. So He's the Word of God. Who He is, the thought, His appearing, made flesh for us to see. I think Jesus could have been that little boy, little Hebrew boy in class. Wouldn't that be awesome if the teacher asked him, what are you drawing, Jesus? And he said, God. She said, well, nobody knows what He looks like. And Jesus would have said, they will when I'm through. That was a major assignment of Jesus Christ, is revealing who God is. Is it fair to say that some people in our culture here in America struggle knowing and seeing God? Because there are those who, quote, bear His name that don't really look or act much like Him. I think that's fair to say. That sometimes when they look at people who, let's just say, call themselves Christians, quote, Christians. And you'll remember from the survey in the University of North Carolina, they said that if you live in the South, there's a good chance your largest mission field is people who say they're Christians, but who don't know Jesus. Those ought to be synonymous. Amen. But people who've called themselves Christians or knowers of God, that maybe they say they bear His name, they bear the name Christian, but when the world looks at them, our culture looks at them, they say, well, they're really no different than me. They gossip just like me. They talk about people just like I do. They walk like me. They watch the same shows that I watch. There's no condemnation for those in Christ, but I think the Lord does want us to reflect Him through our yielding of ourselves to Him and His Spirit. You can't be like Him without Him. That's religion. But you can yield your heart to Him. I don't know what this is. Oh, did anybody see that, by the way? It was turned white. Jonathan, thank you. I saw it and it was distracting me. But as soon as I took it off, it fixed. Go figure. But Jesus came with the assignment to reveal who God is, and how he revealed who God is to us was he declared his name to us. Let me show you John 17:3. Look at this. Jesus is praying before he's getting ready to be crucified and tortured and all that. So read John 17. It's a great passage. It's Jesus' prayer before he's getting ready to give his life. And he says, Father, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So the goal, he's saying, is, when it's all said and done, is we want human beings to know God. So in verse 6, he says, I have manifested your name to the men who've given you've given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they've kept your word. Then in verse 26, he says, Father, I've declared to them your name. So the goal is that they would know you, Father, and how I'm going to make that happen is I'm going to show them who you are. My goodness. I've declared to them your name, and I will keep on declaring it. Where? Through you. Why? Why am I doing it? That the same love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. My goodness. How many of you think the Father loves Jesus pretty well? Did you know that same love is in your bosom, is in your spirit, man? That is agape love. It's what we were talking about. That love is present with you. It's in you. You know, my struggle as a Christian, especially when I was a young man, it's hard to get away from it, but I always kept doing things so God would love me. I kept performing, trying to do things that would cause him to love me. And I remember him saying to me, Steve, I never asked you to earn my love, but I have asked you to share it. But you can't share something you don't think you possess. So I had to sit down over the reality, I have the love of God. I have the same love wherewith God loved Jesus Christ living in me. And oh, by the way, comma, he lives in me. And just like you, I think the Lord's calling us to love. I think the Lord's calling us to love. And I mean love each other well. And not just each other, but even in our homes and in our schools and the waitress today or the waiter where you're eating or your principal at school or your boss. I think the Lord's calling us to love well. I think Jesus said they'll actually know we are of him by our love. And we can boil it down to a lot of things. We can get caught up in this, that, or the other. We need this program. We got to go out and do this. How about if we love? How about if we love? Because love never fails. Is it written in Scripture that you can go out and do a bunch of great things for the Lord, even give your life as a burnt offering, and if you don't do it in love, it profits us? You've done nothing except annoy people, he said. Tingling brass. Banging on the cymbal all day long. How annoying is that? He said, you're annoying if you're trying to do things, good things, but you do them without love. You know, Adam didn't need to call upon the names of God in the garden because Adam knew God well. Adam is walking and talking, Adam and Eve, walking and talking with God every day. He didn't need the revelation of the names of God. But after the fall, God starts saying, my heart is breaking for you. I need you to know who I am. So I'm going to disclose my names to you. I'm going to show you who I am. Introduce myself. So God starts, you know, hey, I'm the Lord, your provider. That's Genesis, Abraham and Isaac. We haven't even looked at that one yet. I'm the Lord, your healer. I'm the Lord, your warrior. We looked at that last week. I'm the Lord, your righteousness, because he wants you to know him. God knows that you and I are incomplete and not satisfied apart from him. We're not. And here's the ones we've looked at so far. Elohim, Jehovah, which is Yahweh, Emmanuel, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord your righteousness, Jehovah Saba, the Lord who is, what, the Lord of hosts of heaven who fights for you. And then Jehovah Rophe, that's today. Jehovah Saba, all David needed to do was go stand on the battlefield so God could break in and supernaturally slay Goliath through him. But the Lord fought that battle. That was Jehovah Saba in 1 Samuel who defeated Goliath. Amen. Amen. So let's go to Exodus chapter 15. Let's read about it. Then Miriam, the prophetess. Everybody see that there were female prophetesses? Everybody okay? The sister of Aaron took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and dancing. What did they come out of? What are they celebrating? The Red Sea. They came out of the Red Sea, and they're celebrating. They got timbrels and dancing, and Miriam said, "Sing to the Lord. He's triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider has thrown into the sea." They're having church. They're celebrating, and nobody went to Miriam and said, "Hey, we don't believe in that. We shouldn't go to church and be taught not to worship." Amen? Now, worship's not a form. You can't say, "Oh, well, they're not timbrel and dancing, so that's not worship." How many of you know it goes the other way? It's from the heart. But be free to express the love of God you have in your heart for Him. And that's what Miriam is doing with the tambourine, etc. All right, let's keep reading. So Moses brought Israel out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they couldn't drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name was called Marah. Marah means bitter. Verse 24, and the people complained against Moses. They griped at him, saying, "What shall we drink, O great man of God? What have you done to us? The Lord has led them there." The Lord, here's what I'm saying. Not every time you're in the wilderness are you outside of God's will. Because there might be a lesson. There might be something He needs to teach you to get you to where He's taking you. And He's taking them to Elim, where there's shade trees and all kinds of fresh springs and water. But they're going to have to understand the revelation of bitterness and what it'll do to you if you don't get it healed before you can get to your refreshing. I find this so interesting. They come out of the first miracle of water, the Red Sea. That was a pretty fantastic miracle concerning water. Then they're 3 days in the wilderness. And I can just see them, man. They're coming out of the Red Sea, the miracle, and they're running. They finally see water because they've been 3 days without water. They're running to it. They get there and it's bitter. And now it's a murmuring, complaining time, and it's a gripe time. I'm glad we don't do that. I'm glad we never serve God for what He does for us. Hello, America. Guess what really hurt them? Expectation. Did you know bitterness can actually begin to seed inside your heart if you have unmet expectations that God didn't do something for you thought He should have? Or how about that someone you know, a loved one, didn't do something for you that you felt they should have? Unmet expectation could lead to anger, resentment, bitterness. How about yourself? You thought, "I should have done better than that." Sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. But they say, "What are we going to drink?" So Moses cried out to the Lord. He's a smart man. "Lord, what am I going to do?" And the Lord showed him a tree. A tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. And there he made a statute for them, an ordinance. And there he tested them. That's the Lord, tested them. And said, "If you'll diligently heed my voice, if you'll do the things I ask you to do, I'll put none of the diseases on you which I used to bring you out of Egypt. For I am Jehovah Rophe. I'm the Lord who heals you." Love that. The word Rophe appears some 60 times in the Old Testament, and it means to heal, restore, to cure, not only in a physical sense, but in a moral and spiritual sense as well. Can I get a witness that in today's day and age, we need to know God heals? We need to know God heals in today's day and age. Why? Because there's been a serious increase in hospitals, clinics, pharmacies, and prescription drugs the last 10 years in our country. directly related to the increase of pain, unhealth, and brokenness in people's lives. There are many people out there who need physical healing, emotional healing, mental healing, and how about relational healing? Very few people in Choctaw today are enjoying a pain-free, carefree, problem-free life. I think that's fair to say. Very few people in Oklahoma, pain-free, problem-free, carefree, stress-free. I don't think there's a lot of them. So the Lord needs a people that will partner with Him to release healing. And I would dare say point people away from the dangers of bitterness, and we'll get into that here in just a little bit. God wants to reveal there in Mara, are their hearts really for me? Are they just saying amen, or are they really all in on the truth? Are they willing for me to form myself in them? Because bitterness is not something that I carry around, but I want you to look like me. So we got to give Him permission to do that. Can I give you this little nugget? How many of you ever got hurt by somebody and you were bitter, you're angry about it, and you wanted justice to be served? I want justice. Justice, just desserts. They need to get what's coming to them. How many of you thought about revenge? Letty's throwing both hands up today. All right, this is important. Did you know, as a human being who's made in the image of God, that justice and revenge will never satisfy you? Only forgiveness will. Forgiveness will satisfy you, but revenge won't. Neither will justice. Can I get a witness? Let's say a woman lost her child. Someone murdered her child. Justice could be served. Maybe they electrocute him. Does that just make it all better now? No. How is she going to be healed? Forgiveness. She's going to have to release the debt. She's going to have to let her heart be whole again. Why? Because it's not whole in bitterness. So I'm going to say it again. Revenge and justice not only can't satisfy you, they can't heal you. Only forgiveness and the love of God can heal your heart and make you whole. Well, don't shout me down, but it's the truth. And as human beings, we're all going to face opportunities in regard to sickness or bitterness or any of those things. Believing God for your own healing, believing your family, maybe a family member for healing. Somebody asks you to pray for them. Somebody asks you to pray for a loved one. I think the Lord needs you to know that God is a healer. You need to know Him as the Lord, your healer. You might be in church one Sunday and we ask you, or the Lord asks you to pray for someone for healing. It'd be good if you knew that God's a healer. But I'm telling you, He's introducing Himself that this is part of who I am, is the God that heals. I want to say this too. Don't settle for healing when the Lord wants to make you whole. When He wants you living in divine health every day. Wouldn't it be awesome if part of our testimony in the body of Christ is our health? That we just, I'm all for miracles and breakthrough healing miracles, but I'd like for us to live healthy lives, full of righteousness, peace, and joy. And I'm telling you, love and all those things, they look good on you. And then here's the last verse, 27. So after the test where Moses took the tree, how many of you know that's a type and shadow? The cross. The cross of Jesus turned bitter water into sweet water. Not just regular tasting water, it was sweet. Can you imagine not just going from bitterness towards someone to indifference, but to sweet spirit towards them? The cross can do it. He said, He showed him a tree. There's a tree prophetically that's coming that will move people's hearts from bitterness to sweetness. And on the other side of bitterness, you get to come to Elam, where there's 12 wells of water. There's 12 tribes, so everybody gets their own well, and 70 palm trees, and they camp there by the cool waters. Isn't that awesome? What is that? John chapter 7. Rivers of living water. I'll put a well, I'll put a spring, I'll put a river inside of you. You get your own well, but don't let bitterness keep you from the wells of refreshing that I have for you. Don't let bitter water keep you from where I'm taking you. Amen. Let me show you this one. Well, I have a bunch here. 3 John 1:2. I desire that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So make sure your soul is prospering. What's your soul? Your mind, your thought life, your emotions. If you have bitter thoughts all the time, you're going to have bitter feelings. Mind, will, and emotions all work together. Psalm 107:20, send his word and heal them. Psalm 103:3, forgives all our sin, heals all our diseases. Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes we're healed. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes we were healed. And then Psalm 41:3, I don't know if I have it in front of me. Oh, I do. Here it is right here. Psalm 41:3, Passion Translation. When they are sick, God restores them. Lying upon their bed of suffering, he raises them up and restores them back to health. Everybody say, God's a healer.
God's a healer.
Amen. And what Jehovah Rophe was to the children of Israel at Marah, Jesus Christ is to every one of us in this day and age. He is the fulfillment of that name. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. New Living Translation. Look after each other. Look after each other, so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, defiling many. What kind of root is bitterness? Poisonous. It's a poisonous root. Bitterness is like you drinking the poison but expecting it to hurt the other person. It's a poisonous root, and guess where bitterness wants to grow? Inside. Inside. And not stay a root, but form a base for all kinds of roots and all kinds of trees and bad fruit. And then it says, defiling many. My goodness. It doesn't say they're happy and healthy because they latched on to the root of bitterness. It says they become defiled. The root of bitterness isn't the end of Satan's plan to destroy your life. It's the beginning. Amen? It's not the end of his plan, it's the beginning. Webster's definition of defiled, by which many became defiled. Listen to this. This is Webster's. To make unfit for use by the introduction of something harmful. That's what it means to be defiled. To make something unfit for use by introducing something to it that's harmful to it. You're not made for bitterness. And make sure you don't let bitterness keep you from the rivers of refreshing that are waiting on you. One doctor said, not a preacher, a doctor said, bitterness eats like acid into our moral and physical nature. One psychiatrist said, there may not be anything more unnatural, unsatisfying, or unhealthy than unforgiveness. Bitterness defined resentment, anger, hostility, unpleasantly cold, offended. Many times we think in holding bitterness we're harming others, but the deepest harm is to ourselves. That's what he's cautioning him against. Don't step outside of the grace of God and let bitterness start growing in your heart. It'll defile you. You're not going to be celebrating it. While we think in withholding forgiveness, we hold power over others, the enemy is actually holding power over us. Because unforgiveness is much more the character and nature of Lucifer than it is of Almighty God. Dwayne Sheriff, my pastor, said he'd seen more people moved off their destiny by bitterness than any other thing. How about this one? We don't forgive because our salvation is at risk. We forgive because our health and peace of mind are. Yeah. Well, that's good news. A, God's not using you to determine whether you're forgiven or not. He's not using a you-based economy for forgiveness of sin. He's using a blood-based economy for your forgiveness. And Christ's blood was sufficient for you to be forgiven. Amen? Okay, so you're not forgiving people. Now you need to forgive, but you're not doing it so you can be saved. You don't even have the ability to forgive if you're not saved. I think forgiveness is supernatural. I think you gotta have the Holy Spirit's help to really genuinely forgive. I mean, certainly things that could become a root of bitterness. We forgive because our health and our peace of mind are at risk. If you need help with forgiving someone, we are happy to help you walk through that. We've got a book out there on freedom through forgiveness. But man, we've got some great people here that'll walk with you. Get you an accountability partner if you're really struggling in this area. Because man, there's rivers of refreshing waiting on you. So get you an accountability partner who'll say, hey, I love you. I can relate. I'm sorry that happened to you. God loves you too. And then they'll say, but let's have a funeral and I'll help you bury this thing. Because this thing that's attached to you does not love you. Bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, they don't love you. It's the enemy's tool, try and defile you and hurt you. Healing rarely happens in isolation. Amen? Can I say it again? Healing rarely happens in isolation, so find somebody. Gretchen does a good job of making herself or others available at the end of service. If you need help, we will help you. Unforgiveness wreaks havoc in our nation. In the United States of America, there's a lot of unforgiveness. Have you bent into the media at all? The Democrats don't seem to be big fans of Donald Trump. And best I can see, they have no root towards forgiveness or wholeness. There's political agendas centered on creating strife in our nation. Are you listening to me? There's political agendas centered on creating division and hatred in our nation. But Christians are beginning to see the light of the deadliness of bitterness and offense and grudges. And sometimes we got to say, you know, I think it's more important that I'm healthy than I'm right. And going to bat to destroy all my relationships so everybody knows that I'm right, by God, we end up alone. And I'm not saying you let people move you off of your convictions or anything. I'm not saying that. But man, don't live and die on your convictions. Why? Because you're looking through a dimly lit glass. That's why. Last time I checked, you're not Jesus the Christ. Who has perfect theology. Who himself is perfect theology. So we humble ourselves one to another. We learn to honor each other and value each other's opinions. How about this? Seek to understand where they're coming from before you demand to be understood. Woo, where's that amen button? Amen, amen. Gabe, you guys can go ahead and come. So in the midst, though, of where the enemy tries to wreak havoc in your heart, grow up a root of bitterness, those kind of things, man, let me introduce you to the Lord your healer, who not only heals physically, he can heal you emotionally. He can heal you relationally. Did you know the Greek word for offense? Jesus said in Luke 17 that offenses, opportunity for to be offended, will come. Now, if Jesus said it, you can bank on it. You're going to have chances to be offended. But the Greek word for offense, and nobody can make you be offended. You have to take up offense. You have to choose it. Right? You have to take it up. Why do I say that? Because the Greek definition, the Greek word, sorry, is scandalon. Scandalon for offense in the New Testament. Guess what it means? A trap. a snare, and a stumbling block. So every time that, you know, offense comes knocking and it's going to happen, man, you can't turn on the news without an opportunity to be offended. But it's a trap. Man, if I had, I used to have that Star Wars picture. You remember that funny looking guy who said it's a trap? I should have put that up there today. Remember, he, General somebody?
Admiral Akbar, Steve.
Admiral Akbar! See, I'm not crazy. He's a brown guy, white suit. It's a trap! That's what offense is. And I love the Lord in this, because he brings them out miraculously out of the Red Sea, and he says, hey, just so there's no residue against the Egyptians, let me teach you something about bitterness. Because on the other side of this, they had come out of Egypt, but now he's got to get Egypt out of them. And I read in Psalm 105, he brought them out, verse 37, there wasn't any sick or feeble among them, and he sure wasn't going to let bitterness take root and defile what he had just done. Come on, somebody. Amen. And he's teaching. He's saying, let me teach you something here in the wilderness. I know you're thirsty, but you better guard against drinking bitter waters. Out of what we just came out of. Because I'm going to take you to rivers and springs of fresh water at Elam. But we need to get this settled first. Come on, somebody. Amen. All right. Stand with me. Let's pray together. My goodness. Yeah. Amen. Who is that? Is that her? River, my new favorite fan. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning, oh, my heart breaks for you if you're struggling with bitterness. The great God Jehovah, he's got rivers of refreshing, springs of new life waiting on you. If that's you, I just pray for you. Gather church, can we just take a moment and pray? Father, for every person here, that bitterness has tried to latch hold of their heart and begin to grow a root. Lord, heal them. The forgiveness is the releasing of a debt. It doesn't mean what they did wasn't terrible or hurtful. It just means I'm not going to wear it anymore, and you don't owe me for it. You don't owe me money, and you don't owe me an apology. Because the power to forgive doesn't come from an apology. It comes from Christ in you. That's where the power to forgive comes from. So, Father, we pray for these. Would you heal them? Would you heal them, Lord, from any bitter water at Marah? And bring them into new life. Bring them into fresh springs, Lord, for 2020. That every old thing pass away. Not saying it wasn't bad or even hurtful. We're just saying, I'm not going to be mastered by it anymore. It has no power over me. Devil, those things, that what that person said, what they did, devil, it has no more power over me. Because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I release everything and every old feeling to you. I'm yours, Lord. And you're mine. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said, amen. Amen. Oh. Alright, I got a word. Hold on. Where's my glasses? I was like, did you see that look of panic on my face? Be like, Lord, heal my eyes right now. Okay, where does it start? Do you want to share it or you want me to? Okay. Do you need my glasses?
I wasn't sure if this was corporate or not. I got this in worship. Whenever we were singing Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness, I saw myself walking around. I work at Hobby Lobby Corporate, and I was in these different areas of our building, and it was like I was throwing these streamers in the air that said that, and it was like these banners were being raised over all the people I work with. And I was going around and just being myself, and it was releasing these banners. But the Lord has been sharing with me often Romans 8:6, which says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And I felt him say that if our mindset is about the people that we're surrounded with, if it's death, it's because our mind is set on the flesh.
Yeah, that's right.
And if our vision for those that we're surrounded with, if we're like, how can I get out of this environment? I can't stand these people I work with. Like, we're called to those places. Like,
amen.
The church is a fantastic place for us to be in a safe place, but the Lord has placed us strategically in our communities.
Amen.
And He's wanting for us to partner with the mindset of Christ to release these banners over these people that are just dying to know the love of God. And as a woman who struggled with infertility for years and longed to have children and the promises that God has given us for children, it was like He showed me His heart that He longs to love the babies that we're surrounded by that don't know Him. Like, there are so many babies that just need to be loved. It was like all of these orphans in my workplace, and it's the love and the desire that can bring me to my knees begging God for my babies. It was like He showed me, I long to love those that are around you.
Wow.
Just like you long to be in the season of motherhood. I long to love them well. And He wants to use me to do it. And He wants to use you to do it where you are. But we have to lay down our pride and our right to be right about how somebody treats us or mistreats us.
Amen.
Or sees us or doesn't see us. If somebody else honors us or doesn't honor us, we are called to show them what honor looks like, to model what sacrificial love looks like.
Yeah.
And release those banners over people that have never been exposed to the kingdom. And then the lyrics to that song shifted where we were saying, you are, it was we are. We are way makers.
Yes.
We are miracle workers. We are promise keepers. We are lights in the darkness because we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we have the mindset of Christ.
Yes.
We don't have a mindset of death. We have a mindset of life, and we're the hope for the orphans.
Amen. That's so powerful. Thank you. My goodness. Amen. Mic drop. Yeah, Him in and through you. I do want to say this from my heart. If you're struggling, if I know we prayed, but if you need help walking through what we talked about this morning, please see us at the front. Please let us help you. Amen? Is that fair? Let's just be real. If you're a human being, you're going to deal with unforgiveness and opportunities to be offended. I want to ask Annie if she would come and just dismiss us in prayer and just pray into that. I mean, we are that word on agape, you know, we are that portal that people can look through. We're that window, you know, people can look into and see Him. Amen.
Well, Papa, I thank You for Your love. Your love that sustains us first, that You don't ever throw us into these places empty. So we welcome You to love us well. Fill us fresh, Papa, where we have shown ourselves no mercy, where we have shown ourselves judgment and shame and anger, and then we pour that out on others because we feel like You're that way towards us. God, I just ask that You would fill us fresh.
Yes.
With Your perspective, because if we have the perspective of hopelessness or brokenness or anger or judgment or resentment, it's because we don't fully know You yet. So, Papa, I ask that You would expose inside of us the places where we're hurting, just so that we can be filled with the love You long to give.
Yes.
Papa, that we would be loved so well that it just pours out from the top of what You've done in us. We don't have to manufacture anything. I release grace to this body.
Yes.
To be able to receive Your love.
Yes.
To receive Your compassion. Father, that we would not judge ourselves unworthy of the love.
Amen.
That You died to give us.
Yes.
That You said, over my dead body will You be in shame. Over my dead body.
Yes.
Will You be in loneliness or brokenness or isolation. And that we would say the same thing because we've been loved that way by You. That over my dead body will the people around me, even though they throw stones and even though they reject me, Father, that over my dead body, because I'm dead in Christ, will these people go unloved? Holy Spirit, come and fill us fresh.
Yes.
Papa, I ask that this would not be a word.
Yes.
We leave in a pew, but we would let it resonate.
Yes.
In our hearts, and that we would give our mindsets to You, Papa, and that over this next week, we would come back with stories of the banners that you released in our environments yes. through us. Papa, do something real. Yes. I call for surrender of hearts, exchange for lies, for there to be truth.
Yes.
That we will say that your way is better than our own, and we sacrifice all of our pride because you're worth it, Papa. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
I bless them in
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
I heard the Lord say, do not wake up tomorrow to be treated well. Wake up tomorrow to reveal my great name. Wake up. The goal is not for everybody to treat us right. The goal is to reveal who he is towards those that treat us well and those that don't. Amen. I'll leave that where it is. Bless you guys.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.com.